Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Doug LaMaurice joins us on the show. Hello.
Hey, guys.
Doug LaMaurice, you can find him on Twitter at Doug LaMaurice. Writer for Cleveland.com. You've written about the Mayfield Matrix. Is this correct?
That is correct.
Explain this to us.
Five options of how the Browns could handle Baker Mayfield and the quarterback position this season, asking fans what they'd do if they were in charge of the Browns, using historical comparisons with recent quarterbacks and how they were handled by their team. So keep him without the extension, bring in a veteran as competition, bring in a rookie as competition, sign him to a little extension. All four of those, keep him in Cleveland, or trade him. Those were the five options that we gave presented to readers over the last 5 days, and then we had people vote on it.
And what came out on top? I should probably tell people to go read it, shouldn't I?
Yeah, well, the thing, I'll tell you this, because I haven't tabulated everything, but the thing, the very first one, which was the Jameis Winston example, Tampa brought back Jameis Winston in year five, no extension, no other real competition, all in on Jameis. And that was the year that Jameis led the league in passing yards and interceptions. And then they go to Brady the next year. The thing that was interesting is it was a 1 to 10 rating scale, and the average was about a 5, but there were lots of people that were 1s, and there were lots of people that were 10s. 1 is, I hate this idea. I don't want Baker back by himself. 10 is, I love this idea. Bring Baker back, commit to him for year 5. People are just are, I think, very divided on this, but the two ends are very sure in their belief, right? That no, it can't be Baker, or yes, it must be Baker, which is, you know, people are often divided, but how many people are at the two extremes, I think, is somewhat rare in my time around Cleveland sports.
But they seem to be very loud though, Doug.
I don't know if you guys have come across this. Sometimes it almost feels like the fans get a little angry about things. They should be, though, right? It's frustrating. I get it. It's very frustrating that you draft a quarterback overall number one, and here you are in year five, and you're watching the rest of the league, the teams that are succeeding, and you are at this spot. And some people think Baker can be that, and some people think he has no chance to be that. So I do feel for fans who have this uncertainty, and again, it feels like there's a little divide in the fan base with the Browns, which is frustrating because that's certainly not the first time we've seen the fan base divided.
Especially considering it seemed like we were all unified just a year ago. Doug LaMaurice joined us on the hotline. So we saw, Browns fans got a chance to watch all the different playoff games, saw all the different quarterback play, and we know the names, the usual suspects of guys that may or may not be available. And those names are Derek Carr, who we saw play, Jimmy Garoppolo, who we saw play, and I'd add on the decision of the Minnesota Vikings to retool front office and head coach, meaning Kirk Cousins could be available. So do you think this was a good weekend for those wanting to move on from Baker Mayfield, or a bad weekend, or status quo?
I think if you want to move on from Baker Mayfield, it might have been good, because I think part of the calculus for this is, what is Baker at his best? And there's just some quarterbacks that even Baker at his best you know, he's not Josh Allen at his best. That was the best Josh Allen ever played. That was one of the best playoff games a quarterback has played in recent times. And we know Baker and Josh Allen are different physically, but I do think that that's part of the equation with Baker. When you've seen it be good, you've seen it be good fairly recently, and you're hoping for that, but what the risk of the downside is, and there's at least some risk, is like if you get the upside payoff, even the best of all possible worlds, is Baker Mayfield going to lead your team past Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and Patrick Mahomes? And if you think, man, even the upside, I'm not sure that happens, then maybe that encourages the idea of, like, let's look elsewhere. Not that Kirk Cousins is going to do that magically either, but Kirk Cousins might give you a little more certainty of being solid, and neither Baker nor Cousins have the huge upside, but if you're not hanging on for the hugest upside, maybe you lean towards, let's definitely make the playoffs with this guy because we know he's pretty consistent.
Kirk Cousins still, there's something I just don't like about him. It's just like an uncertainty, I guess I would say, Doug.
Like, oh, like, I don't like him either.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's hard because it's like if you're thinking like these mid-tier guys, and I had a mid-tier, I threw Matt Ryan in there. Sounds like Atlanta wants to keep Matt Ryan, but he's old. I don't know, right? And then you have like the shoot for the sky guys. But no, I don't love any of these guys. Garoppolo won a playoff game. Garoppolo tried to lose that playoff game. So it's like, oh, bring in Jimmy Garoppolo. He won a playoff game. It's like, man, did you watch that game?
Hey, real quick, did you think he was that bad? Because he made a number of big third down throws in that game, and they don't really let him throw the ball down the field much. So there aren't a ton of opportunities for him.
No, I agree. He makes big plays, and then he makes a couple plays like, man, that should have been a pick, or like that could have killed you, right? I mean, but again, it's like what do you have versus what you might get. He played really well down the stretch of the regular season, right? I mean, I think he increased his value down the stretch, but then he had up and down moments in a playoff game that his team won with a great defense. Could the Browns be that kind of great defense? I don't know, maybe. But none of these guys, like these mid-tier guys, none of them are sure thing greatness, but do they give you a better chance at consistency? Are they do they increase your chances of making the playoffs, even if they're not the huge upside maybe that you were hoping to get when you drafted Baker?
Derek Carr.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the idea of that awful year for the Raiders in so many different ways, and that the quarterback sort of helped them get through it. This is also a guy, I know he had the great year a couple years ago, where he was almost the MVP and then got hurt for the playoffs, but this is the first playoff game he ever started, right? So he's been around a long time, and I think has a losing record as a starting quarterback, but he seemed like a guy who sort of weathered the storm this year, and he has a little more down the field potential, I think, is, you know, can move around a little bit. Yeah, I think a little, maybe a little more solid, a little more consistency. Again, not the hugest upside, but any of those guys, it's like, if you drop in Garoppolo, Cousins, or Carr, do you think you increase the Browns' chances of making the playoffs next year?
I feel like this year, Derek Carr, they would have absolutely made the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, that was great leadership. I mean, you had guys brandishing guns on Instagram for crying out loud, yep. And then the Henry Ruggs stuff, and your coach gets fired, and like that was leadership there, Doug, and I think that's what they're lacking right now. I mean, real, true leadership. I think that's what they're lacking with Baker Mayfield. Those players know it.
So, I mean, this is the thing. It's a tough – again, it's like it's angsty. It's very angsty, this whole thing, because it's a tough spot to be in because those guys are who they are by now, right? All three of those guys. And you know they're not Justin Herbert. They're not Patrick Mahomes. You know they're not. You're giving up on that. But – they're a little more established. They're healthy. Maybe they have a little different style of leadership. So when you plug it into, if this offensive line gets healthy, plus the run game, plus you add at receiver, plus this defense, is a good enough quarterback good enough? Probably to make the playoffs. It probably is. You don't need a superstar quarterback to make the playoffs right now with the rest of this team. But you need a certain level of quarterback play that you didn't get this year because of the injuries. We all know that. Angsty, it's angsty.
Not only that, Doug, here's the hard part for me, and we'll get to Odell here in a second and how you evaluate, you know, anything production-wise in this offense and an injured Baker, which is what we saw this year. I can't account when people say, why would I want to throw out Baker with the bathwater to get a slight elevation, or maybe it might not even be elevating quarterback play with Jimmy Garoppolo or Cousins or whatever. I can't account for what's going on in the locker room or behind the scenes. And I know, obviously, there's been a lot of chatter about what players think of Baker. We know that a bunch of relatives are tweeting what they think of Baker, and you just assume that's what the players think, but you don't know. I can't evaluate that. I don't have a handle on that, but how much can that stuff factor in when we talk about slight upgrades?
You know, I don't factor that in a ton. I certainly don't think the Browns are at the point of, like, change for change's sake, you know, that, like, even if it's a wash, just get somebody different. I don't think it's that. I think I'm a little bit more on the throws he didn't make, the throws he maybe felt like he didn't see at times. I'm sure the shoulder maybe contributed that to that a little bit, but just, like, make the plays that are there. And as a guy who's been a consistent starter in the league for a little longer, more likely just to do that. And so I don't know about – I mean, the thing with Baker is Baker's Baker, right? So it's the chip on the shoulder stuff all the time for good and for bad. A lot of people have thought it was for good.
I think in the NFL, a lot of it's for bad. I do. I think he worries too much about what guys like you and I say. I do.
You know, people loved it when he came and showed up and, like, took up for the city and said, I'm going to – you know, I'll be the guy that'll change it and that kind of thing. A lot of people loved it when he got here, but I get it. I do. I don't think it's just get – I don't think it's get him out of here. I don't. I don't. But in addition to perhaps more stable play, maybe a more stable – consistent locker room situation, maybe that would factor in.
The more you're saying, Doug, and Doug LaMaurice joins us on the show, the more I have to think, like, as I keep going back, second half of the season last year was really good, really good. And then he had that game against Kansas City where he was sensational. I didn't blame him for the loss. I know he had the pick at the end, fine, whatever. And I do think that, by the way, I think that's becoming a monkey on his back. I think he goes out there, he knows what the media is saying about him when he goes out there for those final drives. I think he knows it, and I think you do too. But I still, and I'm like, there's still something in there with him. Can I get it consistently? I'm not sure. But I also know it's like, I need a veteran here. I can't take a rookie. I think he'll just swallow up that rookie, and that rookie could get lost. You need a veteran there, because I think that a healthy Baker is a much better Baker than what we've seen. But what if they go out there and he's just a fart in week one next year, and then there's, like, no Case Keenum even, and you're just like, oh, my God, it's just going plop right in front of us. I can't be wasting these years with the rest of this team that's very, very good. They're very good.
No, I'm concerned about that as well, which is why I don't love anything that is just Baker. So we talked about an option of, like, that was sort of like the Ryan Tannehill, Marcus Mariota option, but, like, bring in Teddy Bridgewater behind him as an option. We mentioned Mitch, bringing Mitch Trubisky behind him as an option. Not that he's far from a sure thing, but have somebody else there so if he starts off bad, you can make a switch. I actually kind of like this crop of quarterbacks, and I think a decent quarterback might be there in round two for the Browns, so I could see an upside swing on one of those guys, bring him in, and if Baker's really bad, have an option. I don't like all in on Baker, and if he just doesn't have it again, even when he's healthy, then you are, like, wasting another year of Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward and Nick Chubb, and they're in their primes, and you wouldn't want to do that.
Doug LaMaurice with us on the hotline. Totally agree with you there. Hey, we all saw what Odell
Beckham
–
about the quarterback, taking a quarterback in the second round?
Well, just in general, I don't think they can go into next season and say, Baker – and if you get injured again,
no.
Play through it. If you play bad
God,
again.
No.
Like, if Baker plays terrible, if he plays like that the first 4 weeks, you bench him. You bench him. You're not just giving him the whole year to evaluate him again.
They're
done with that.
They're going to get my Mitchie, and they're going to put so much pressure on him. I don't want this to happen.
All right, Doug. We saw Odell Beckham last night. We know that he didn't want to be here this year. Mary Kay had reported that. Jay Glazer had other type of reporting, you know, a couple years earlier about that. We know that he was at times kind of alligator arming things, maybe didn't trust himself, maybe wasn't fully healthy. But what we're seeing now is a guy that clearly could have helped the Browns in a season where the margins were what they were. What does that mean for our coaching staff, for Odell, for Baker, for the organization, for everybody?
Yeah, no, you got to find a way to let that guy help your team. I do think it says something about Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield that that you couldn't find a way to have him help the Browns. And I know that, you know, he still let him in targets while he was here, but we all saw games where it felt like he was running a bunch of routes and not getting the ball very much, especially at the end. Now, listen, he didn't have Cooper Kupp here. Cooper Kupp is a number one option that opens everything else up. That certainly helps. Matthew Stafford, different kind of quarterback than Baker. Odell was the guy who was sort of responsible for opening things up for everybody else. We saw that to the very end. He'd take safety help, and all of a sudden somebody's open underneath because Odell Beckham Jr. is on the field. But, I mean, I get it. All right. So Cleveland is not the same as L.A., but, like, a part of an organization is, like, finding a way to keep a guy happy, even if in a tough circumstance. And, listen, his overall numbers didn't go through the roof in L.A. You know, he wasn't catching 10 balls a game. The numbers were kind of the same, but the impact obviously is different. And I do think it is somewhat of an indictment on Kevin Stefanski and Baker Mayfield that they could not find a way to get that guy more involved. And we saw how the receiver play fell off when he was gone, and they've got to draft a receiver in here. But when they get another good receiver in here, they have to throw it to him. I know you like 6-yard passes to tight ends. You have to throw it to talented receivers, quarterback and play caller. So that is something that I do think is on Baker and especially Stefanski to some degree, that they just did not get him more involved when he could have helped them, I think.
Final question. I compared Austin Hooper to the leg lamp in Christmas Story. Is that a good comparison?
Remember when, well, because the dad was so happy.
He just falls over. Every time he catches a ball, I'm falling over here. And it just brittle.
If Austin Hooper had arrived in a box marked for GLA, nobody would have been as excited as they were for the lamp. So I still think the lamp is probably ahead.
Doug LaMaurice, follow him on Twitter, @DougLaMaurice. Good luck. Is that French, by the way?
The Wild Berries. Very French.
Ah. Doug, thank you for the time.
Bye, guys.
The great Doug LaMaurice joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We got something to unpack there, don't we? Can I hold off my Josh Allen take till tomorrow? I hold off my beating?
I think we might have to.
All right. More of this next on The Fan with Joe Varden at 9 o'clock.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.